best love is love.
Hi, Deani. Oh my God, you are never going to believe what my wife said to me the other day. I cannot
wait. Jamie, save it for the Patreon.
What? Oh, right. Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Okay. Listen, everyone at home, if you want to hear what my wife said, plus a lot of other things that I have been dying to get off my chest, and there are some things, y'all, there really are, you need to come join us on our Patreon.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's me and my good friend Deani here, the amazing millennial who is young and sprightly, spilling all the tea in our queer little lives and exclusive contents that you literally cannot find anywhere else, literally nowhere else in the world.
The link is in the bio. Come be part of the queer family.
Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
This episode and the entire season is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code QueerFam26 for a free level 3 subscription to their donor catalog. Just go make all the babies and then come tell me about them, because that's what we do.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
This might sound weird, but like, I am proud being a gay dad who happens to be raising a straight son. Mm-hmm. In the sense of like, look at that, motherfuckers. I proved it. I proved it. We can raise straight people. They're not going to all be gay. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a part of me that's like, fuck you. I did it. What? And he plays sports. 4 of them.
Welcome, y'all, to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. I'm your gay host, Jamie, and this is the show that highlights, celebrates, uplifts, and normalizes LGBTQIA families in all of our fabulous identities. And we have a treat today because my guest is someone we've all come to know very well on this show because he's been on it at least 3 times now. It is the one and only, the incomparable Jose Rolón. We need like applause right there.
Wepa! I love that intro.
That was amazing. Good, right? That was off the cuff and everything. Jose Rolón is here, NYC gay dad on social media. If you don't follow him, you should. He's basically famous. I live in New York City with him. I walk the streets of New York City with him. And the man gets recognized everywhere we go. And it's like people like are like effusive towards you. It's like amazing. Nobody ever does that to me. Nobody at all. They're like, who is this little blonde thing?
What does effusive mean? I don't even know.
I'm not
even
sure I used it correctly. Like they like shower you with stuff. I might have used the wrong word. I don't know. Somebody write in.
All right.
Somebody can write in and tell me, Jamie, you use the totally wrong word. I am in perimenopause. Words don't come to me like they used to. There's so many issues happening with me. I tell Jose all the time, I'm in perimenopause. My nose, any of you who are perimenopausal, does your nose just drip? Like, I don't have a stuffy nose. This is so fun for you, right, Jose? But my nose just drips. Like, I always have to have a tissue. I'm like an old lady with a tissue. I have tissues in every pocket.
We're going to have to make sure we have a lot of tissues around the studio now.
Seriously, because I'm always like, I'm always trying to pull
the
snot back.
Tissue boxes that are... Love Take Two tissue boxes. Brandon.
We didn't mention the show we co-host together, Love Take Two, the show that proves that sometimes the second act is better than the first. It's a really fun show that we do. And if you haven't checked it out, you should go check it out. And like I say all the time, even if you don't listen, just please hit that subscribe button and just ignore it in your feed. It's fine, but just give us a subscribe. We need that.
We do.
So today we're going to do something a little bit different because If you've been a listener of this show, we have, Jose and I both, each have children who are preteens or teenagers at this point. And so, you know, a lot of times we talk about the making of the family and how you parent them when they're little. I do a lot of talking about that. But this one is going to be a little bit more about how do we pivot? How does our parenting change as our children get older? And we're showing up in the world as the families that we are, the children. The children are more cognizant. They're more cognizant of who their family is, how their family shows up. And they have learned how to deal with some of the things that come up from their peers. And how are we how are we doing in this crazy parenting age we find ourselves in? And also puberty, like what the actual fuck? And I feel like, Jose, you're not having it as rough as I am. And I only have one. You have three of them going through puberty at the same time. I only have one. And I feel like I am in a small version of hell. And I don't think you are. So let's chat. How's it going for you, Jose?
You know, you're not wrong, but not quite right either, because I think it's like the calm before the storm. I do, you know, my boy is hitting it first, right? Mm-hmm. So most kids this age, the girls are more mature than the boys.
And I have really noticed that.
To be clear, my kids are 12, my son's 13. And what I've noticed is that the girls have become more mature than Avery, and Avery's have a bit of a regression, but it's not in a way that annoys me. It's well, actually it is annoying, but it's he's just like really silly and really like, I don't know, he's like slapsticky and in this sort of awkward phase. And I'm like, wait, are you 13 or are you 10? Like, what's happening? And he intentionally annoys everybody around him, and he thinks it's funny.
That's what I have in store for me for my 8-year-old. That's what you're telling me? Great.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
So look out, Rose. but the girls, there's definitely some energy that's showing up. And one of them, where she had trouble regulating her emotions when she was younger, some of that's coming back.
Same.
Some of that's coming back.
You put that so well. Yes. Yes. That's what I'm noticing. It's like we were in such a like cool, chill mode for quite some time. Whereas the beginning of her life was very tumultuous. And we would say she's our spirited child. She had trouble regulating emotions. Yeah. And then I was like, oh my God, she grew out of it. And now you're right. Yeah. It seems to be like puberty is bringing it back out. What the hell? What the hell?
That means that thing has been there the whole time. The whole time. So maybe we should be grateful. It was dormant for as long as
we got. We got the time we got, right?
We got the time we got.
I mean,
you get what you get. You don't get upset.
Right? Okay, like a true Gen Xer. There it is. I guess we should perhaps, like an expert might say, because neither one of us is an expert, but an expert might say to us, it's great that they feel comfortable letting that out with you. I know it's great. And also, I wish you wouldn't.
And you know, they say you often can hurt the ones you love the most, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we see a lot of that energy outside of the world. You know, I think our kids are seen as wonderful, and they are wonderful inside the home, but like they can be a little monstrous inside the home. And I do come to the conclusion I'd rather them be that and maybe be too comfortable inside the home than outside of the home. I think that would be the bigger issue.
Right.
But as parents, it's causing us a lot of, you know what it is? That they become energy suckers, right? Energy vampires. Is that what they call it?
Yeah. Well, you know what I used to say to Rose when she was younger and would have these huge, like it was up and down. It was a roller coaster with her emotions. I used to say to her, I said, you don't get to hijack this family right now. And that's what it feels like. Yes. You are hijacking the entire family right now for the thing that's happening with you. And I want to help you. I cannot help you when you are coming at me with the energy you're coming at me with. Because the fact that you can't find your other croc that you took off yesterday is not my responsibility. I can't look for it with you because I'm not in the house with you. So I can't, like, it's stuff like that, that it's like, just like that happened yesterday. FYI. Like you were there when she called me, I think. Were you there? No, you were there when she called me for the other thing.
There was a couple things. Yeah. I think we should call this episode Puberty and Crockgate.
She was like, well, where is it? I was like, I can't, I don't know. I can't help you. I can't see through walls. I'm not there. Like, I would check here. I did. Okay. Well, did you check under here? I did. Okay, I don't know. I cannot help.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do for you right now. Oh, Lord. But yeah, it's the hijacking of emotions. And we're all like, you know, parents, like, we get it, man. It's a tough job. It's a tough job, but it's also very rewarding. Let's talk a little bit about our family makeups and how we're showing up in the world and talking to our kids about it, because the conversations shift slightly as the conversations continue to shift as they grow. So how's that been for you? How are you navigating your gay family and puberty and showing up in the world?
It's interesting because what is beautiful about our family dynamics, it's like you raise kids in a healthy environment and they just know what it's like. It's just this is my dad, or this is my two dads, this is my two moms. It's like not even a thing. Mm-hmm. What feels different about our situation perhaps is we are both considered public figures. We both have shows that are out there, and we both get hate from, you know, the crazies. As we know, you get trolled a lot. And as you know, I'm dealing with this insane far-right conspiracist. And so it's like, what happens when our kids are now old enough to be aware, not just aware of the things outside of our home, but aware of the things that are going on with us publicly outside of our home?
Right.
Right. So, you know, it's like you want to protect them, but now that they are in the grades that they are in, they're in middle school, it's like you have to kind of get to that before they hear it from somewhere else. So like I had to tell my kids, you know, about what was going on with this far right crazy conspiracist that accused me of doing these heinous things with my kids before they would hear it from school, because, you know, it's the telephone game. Or they could very well find articles out there that are public. Your kids' friends can, you know, pull up Instagram, because a lot of these kids have social media.
That's what I was going to say. Yes.
Yeah. And they would be like, oh, that's happening. Look what all these people are saying about your mom and your family.
We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
All right. So Jose and I are talking a lot about parenting our kids who are older. But before that, we also went through the process of creating our L'Égyptiquois family. And I realize many of you might be in that stage. And if you are, I have a promo code for you with California Cryobank. California Cryobank has been around for nearly 50 years and has been helping L'Égyptiquois families create the families they've dreamed of for quite some time. And they are the number one sperm bank in the U.S. They ship to all 50 states. They ship to 40 countries worldwide. I use them. I love them. They have services that really do cater to our community, like second parent adoption letters and vial transfer between spouses. It's a really, really great opportunity for you to go check out their donor catalog. So if you're interested, you're going to use code QueerFam26 at cryobank.com. And that's going to give you a free level 3 subscription to their donor catalog, which gives you a lot of information about these donors. It's a great way to just see what's there. Go check out cryobank.com, use code QueerFam26, start making those babies, and then come around and tell me about them, because I love to hear your stories. All right, let's get back to it.
Love is love.
Yeah, I mean, it's happening that they find, like, my posts will show up to them, and then the kids will show it to her at school. Like, that's your mom. Like, you know, and it's so gay and it's so lesbian. And, like, we have to talk about that, and I have to make sure she feels okay. Like, is this making you uncomfortable? And, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think luckily we've been able to empower. The key, I think, you know, for the listeners, it's not as bad as you would think it's going to be. Certainly, as long as you continue to empower your children to be the best versions of themselves, because we've showed them what the best versions of ourselves are, that we're living our authentic selves.
And to empower them to take pride in their family, which we all do and are working really, really hard to make sure that they have pride.
And, you know, it's okay to even use, like, sense of humor. I tell my kids, like, you know, they throw mama jokes around all the time. And I'm like, they know their response is, well, joke's on you. I don't have a mama.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like you just empower them also with a sense of humor and to not take things so seriously. And that if things do show up that are negative, like, really do your best to, you know, ignore it, deflect it. Or if you need to stand up for yourself, do it in a way that is, I don't know. You know what I tell my kids sometimes? I tell them, if somebody says something mean to you, ask them to say it again. Ask them to repeat it again, because they're saying it in front of people. And if you ask them to say it again and give them that silence, they're put in this really weird position. And then they really see themselves and how mean they're being.
Oh, that's a good tactic. That's good. My daughter too, we're one of those households that uses humor, and we joke about it. We joke about identity. We joke about all of our stuff. My daughter has really glommed onto that. She makes so many funny jokes. It's so great. Like, she had a moment in her Spanish class. This Spanish teacher was really actually very terrible and didn't teach them Spanish at all, which that's a whole other story, which pisses me off. But he, one of the questions he put on a quiz was in Spanish. It asked, what does your dad do after work? And so my daughter hated the Spanish class anyway. She hated the Spanish teacher. So she was like, oh, I'm going to use this, you know, in her whatever. Like, okay, it's problematic too. But she went up to him and she was like, I can't answer this question. He's like, yes, you can. She's like, no, I actually can't. And she's saying it really loud for the whole class to hear. And she's like, I don't have a dad. Yes, you do. You have a dad. No, I don't. And she's like corroborating with the kids in the class. No, I don't have a dad. Do I have a dad? And people are like, no, she doesn't. I have two moms. And he'd met us too, which is funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, she makes it like she's like not afraid to just to.
She's going to give you a show.
Yeah. And it's funny. And she does it in a funny way. And then also I'm like, okay, but let's be careful because you still need to get good grades and let's not piss off your teachers, right? We got to figure out, okay, sometimes it's appropriate, sometimes it's not. She did this thing. She was walking with her friend and her friend was being quiet. She was like, mom, guess what I did? Guess what I did? I'm like, what? She's like, so the friend was being quiet, really quiet. And she goes, so I was like, you're reminding me a lot of my dad right now. And then her friend like was like, wait, but you don't have a dad. She was like, exactly. You want to talk?
That's awesome.
Like, I think that that's a good sign that they are like well adjusted to it. But still, we still have to remain diligent in making sure that the communication is open and honest like it was since we started talking about our families. And it gets harder as they go through puberty because they don't want to talk to us anymore. Sometimes my daughter just shuts it down. Like, okay, I'm done with you. We're not talking, you know? And so trying to find those pathways of communication seem to get a little more complicated, which is different from my 8-year-old because he just is, he just loves his mommies, you know?
Yeah. Wait, so she's 13 or 12?
12.
12. Yeah.
12 and a half.
12 and a half.
Going on 17.
It's, oh my gosh.
It's well, a lot.
Well, what about the wifey? How does she deal with everything?
Same with humor. We do it all with humor, but also pointed conversation. She's a high school dean, so she doesn't take no shit.
Yeah.
So there is that too. Like, our daughter has come out to us as straight.
I was going to say, wait a minute, what? Okay.
No, yeah. As straight. And she's had a boyfriend or two.
Is she still in the house or did you kick her out? What'd you do?
She's here, but she's in her room. She can't hear me. She's got her headphones on. She's not listening to a thing I say.
No, I was wondering if you kicked her out of the house for coming out of street.
Oh. I should have kicked her out. We definitely made jokes about it and we still joke about the fact that she's straight and all the things that go with it. Like, okay, Rose, it could change. This could be a phase. Like, we do all that stuff. We flip the script. Uh-huh. Yeah, she's had boyfriends, a couple of them, which the optics don't look good there when the two mom family has a daughter who's like into boys. Like, I'm not saying the optics don't look good, but it's like, you're 12. We weren't going to do this yet. We're not ready for that level yet. And leave it to the lesbian mom family to have the, like, I don't know. There's a lot of conflicted feelings inside me. I don't know if it makes sense what I'm saying.
Well, I have a question for you around this. Because honestly, I this might sound weird, but like, I am proud being a gay dad who happens to be raising a straight son. Mm-hmm. In the sense of like, look at that, motherfuckers. I proved it. I proved it. We can raise straight people. They're not going to all be gay. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a part of me that's like, fuck you. I did it. What? And he plays sports. Four of them.
Listen, I like that spin. I like that spin. And same. Yeah. Like, yeah, I have a straight daughter who plays sports. Look at that. And likes to wear dresses. She's a very normal girl.
We put normal in quotes for those of you that didn't see.
Right. Normal in quotes. And I'm saying it for the people who say normal. Like, that's what,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wasn't planning on having quote unquote normal kids. I was planning on having a little boy who wore dresses and a little girl who wouldn't wear dresses. And I seem to have gotten the opposite of that. I guess you can't control what you get, right?
That's
so
right.
I've had to have some reckoning, and she seems to like boys, which more power to her. That's great. We're teaching her all about consent. You know, we're trying to do this the right way. We're trying to keep the communication open with that too. We're using our theory on our method on keeping it open and honest. We're pivoting that to this whole, like, I'm going to have boyfriends situation now. And so the boyfriends get invited over to dinner. We try to scare these boyfriends. We try to make sure that these boys are being taught about consent. We have, the conversation has really changed with our daughter to like, you know, means no. And if anything happens, yeah, you know, you can talk to us. You call us anytime, you know, because the goal is for them to always feel free to tell us anything. Right. And as they get older, this, I'm realizing that gets harder. And I'm realizing I didn't always tell my mom the things that were happening with me throughout this age.
I definitely did not.
And my mom definitely wanted me to. So how do I do it differently to make sure that she really does? And it's getting harder. Like, I'm feeling like, oh God, from the outside world, I'm going to be judged differently than I want to. And also, I don't want to stifle her. And I want her to feel free to make her own decisions. And I want her to have the wherewithal to make good decisions. And I want her to tell me everything. Well, my whole reason for saying this is because I went into the boy thing because there was one day Rose wanted her boyfriend to come over, and I had to leave. And I was like, he can't come over. He can't come over. And then all of a sudden, Anne was like, I'm actually going to be home early, so I'll be there. So I went to Rose. I was like, hey, I'm not going to be here, but you can invite him over because mommy's going to be here. She was like, what? Mommy's meaner. No, but mommy's the mean one. And I was like, I know.
Oh my God. Well, I did this small series with Meta and organization Sound It Out. And it was talking to middle schoolers. And this psychiatrist who came on, whose name is Dr. Muriel, was her name. And she said the best way to have conversations with your middle schoolers, especially if they're, you know, going through puberty, if you're having a uncomfortable conversation, perhaps, is to do it while doing an activity. You know, it's like they don't want to sit across the table from you and look you in the eyes and talk to them. So for me, it's, you know, we're right by Brooklyn Bridge Park. So it's like walking along the park. For Avery, it might be kicking the soccer ball. For London, it could be like, you know, walking through Sephora, shopping for makeup and having these conversations. So for those listeners who are sort of like thinking about, well, how do I talk to my kid? I've learned that I took that advice. And it's because I'm the guy who wants to be intense. Look me in my eyes while we have this conversation. And I actually learned that to be very effective.
Oh, look at you. You're such a wholesome dad. It's like, leave it to Beaver over here. Just doing it right.
Hardly.
The Latino, leave it to Beaver. Okay, so that's good. And this is just, we just wanted this to be like a really candid conversation on parenting with the added extra layer of being queer parents in the world and still...
Of preteens and teens.
Yeah, and still wanting our kids to keep the communication open. Continue being proud of their families, continue being proud of how they show up in the world, even if they're straight.
Even if they're straight. God bless those straight people.
God bless them. Oh, Lord. We're doing something right, Jose. So, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. This has been great. Jose, you know I love you.
Love you, too.
I'll see you soon.
Queer Family Podcast.
A huge, huge thank you to our sponsor of this here episode, California Cryo Bank. Don't forget to use code QueerFam26 to get that free level 3 subscription to their donor catalog. Go make those babies, y'all, and then come tell me about them. Let's do this.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.